And for those of us who are staying in, we're going to hear from the Word of God. We got a real treat this morning. Evan is going to read to us in Spanish. So we get to hear, we heard a few weeks ago about kind of people hearing the Word of God in their mother tongue and how powerful that is. So Evan's going to read to us in Spanish, and then Tox is going to read to us in English this morning. So let's give Tox and Evan a really warm welcome as they come up. I know how nervous sometimes it can be reading in front of everyone.
Good morning, everyone. It's really a privilege to come and read the Word of God here today in my language. But for the Lord, there is any language is the same. The Word is living and powerful, it says, and it's going to touch our heart. It's from Luke 19, 1 to 10. San Lucas 19. Jesús y Zaqueo. Habiendo entrado Jesús en Jericó, iba pasando por la ciudad. Y sucedió que un varón llamado Zaqueo era jefe de los publicanos y rico. Procuraba ver quién era Jesús, pero no podía a causa de la multitud, pues era pequeño de estatura. Y corriendo delante, subió a un árbol sicamoro para verle, porque había de pasar por allí. Cuando Jesús llegó a aquel lugar, mirando hacia arriba le vio y le dijo: Zaqueo, date prisa, desciende, porque hoy es necesario que posee yo en tu casa. Entonces él descendió a prisa y le recibió gozoso. Al ver esto, todos murmuraban diciendo que había entrado a posar con un hombre pecador. Entonces Zaqueo, puesto en pie, dijo al Señor: He aquí, Señor, la mitad de mis bienes doy a los pobres, y si en algo he defraudado a alguno, se lo devuelvo cuadruplicado. Jesús le dijo: Hoy ha venido la salvación a esta casa, por cuanto él también es hijo de Abraham, porque el Hijo de Hombre vino a buscar a salvar lo que se había perdido. Amén.
Good morning, church. We're still on the same scripture, Luke 19. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your place today. So he came down at once and gladly welcomed him. All the people saw this and began to mutter, He has gone to the guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Jesus said to him, Today, salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. It ends the reading.
So I'm going to welcome Tom up, who's going to come and share from God's word. And I'm going to pray for him. You pray for him with me. That would be great. I know Tom's been a slightly unwell this week, so it's really good that he's able to preach from God's word. Lord, we thank you for Tom. We thank you for your love towards him. And I pray, Lord, that where you've been preparing his heart to share your message this morning, Lord, I pray that all the words that need to come out this morning would, Lord. I pray that he'd be a man empowered by your Holy Spirit, and that we would all leave feeling suitably challenged and encouraged by what you want us to hear this morning. We ask this in your name and in faith. Amen.
Amen. Thanks so much. I'm taking this mic today because I may need to cough a bit, and you didn't want me coughing into amplification. That wouldn't have been too good. So I'm Tom, if you haven't met me before. It's a bit of a family affair today because Flo was doing the worship as well, so sorry about that. There are other people at the church. Lots of room to come and serve if you want to get involved. And I've got two little ones, Asher and Cyrus, who are upstairs now, so I'm going to try not to see them running around. Let me just move this a little bit. does move. Amazing. So, thank you so much to the people who read the passage. So good hearing it in Spanish as well. Praise God that we don't serve an English God. We serve Yahweh, the God of all things, of all people, of all nations. So we're going to read about, we've read about Zacchaeus. I don't know if you know this story. Most people probably do. So there's a picture of Zacchaeus climbing the tree. So I'm going to talk to you guys today about how Jesus calls outcasts. Jesus calls people who are outcasts, people who are looked down upon, people who are hated, people who are despised, people who are discounted, he calls them. Okay, so. Thank you. And then the next. We'll go past the passage. If you want to look it up in your Bible, some people like to follow along in the sermon. It's Luke 19, if you didn't catch that. Luke 19, just at the beginning. Okay, so Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. I was reading in the Bible this morning. I'm up to Joshua, reading some of the Old Testament. You guys know the story about Jericho? Marching, trumpets, the angel of the Lord, God's victory, defeating this mighty city and bringing his people through to his promised land. So we're at that city, Jericho. But this is the New Testament. This is Jesus. This is God's kingdom coming in a new way. So Jesus entered Jericho and he was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and he was very wealthy. So Jericho, again, is this very grand city, very wealthy. And it's a major kind of moneymaker for the Roman Empire. So they would collect tolls, any goods, any trade coming through, they'd be collecting money from it. I don't know if you guys do much buying and selling on eBay or maybe more professional business options. You have to pay money to make money, don't you? There's always fees, there's always taxes, there's always people often connected to a big website that take a big cut of what you're making. Or maybe they take a small cut, but they take a cut of everything. Okay, I'm not here to criticize that system, but think about that. To trade, you have to pay money. And in this time, the Romans were running the area of Israel. They were running it, so they were taking a cut of everything. They were taxing, and they were a military power. They were not going to be elected as MPs. They had the warriors. They had the army. So they were running things, and whatever they said to pay, you had to pay. Now Zacchaeus, he was one of the chief tax collectors, and he was very wealthy. So he was a Jewish man who was working for the Romans. And so the Jewish people, they had to pay out to this foreign government who were running their country. And the tax collectors, they used their position to take as much as they wanted. They had this position of power and privilege, and they had the whole weight of the Roman Empire behind them. So Zacchaeus was an outcast of the Jewish people. He had betrayed his people. He had chosen to work for the enemy, and his profession was seen as lowest of the low. But he was the highest of the high when it came to wealth, when it came to his power and position, but not respected by his own people who he's betrayed. And just to highlight this, I don't know if you guys have read the book of Matthew, one of the disciples. He was a tax collector himself, which I'd amazingly forgotten before I started preparing this. Right there in the Bible, we've got a book written by one of these traitors. So Matthew, when Jesus saw him, he was at the tax collector's booth. He was at work. And Jesus goes to his house to eat with him. It reminds us of Zacchaeus' story. Jesus goes to his house to eat with him. And when the Pharisees saw this, because it said many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples, the Pharisees, the religious teachers, the people who were trying to keep the law to the 100th degree, trying to show that they were righteous, trying to be perfect before God and taking it so far that they would use it against people. There wasn't mercy, there wasn't grace, there wasn't forgiveness. It was the law and following the law. And they saw Jesus in this man's house, this traitor's house, this thief's house. And they said, to his disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? On hearing this, Jesus said, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. Because these guys, the Pharisees, they were great at the sacrifices. They knew how many turtle doves and how many pigeons to sacrifice on which day and how much of the grain and how much of the oil. They knew all the rules, but it was about them and their sacrifice. And Jesus says, it's about mercy. I desire mercy. I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners. So I think it's amazing that tax collectors, just, I want to labor that point, they were put in the category as sinners. Now, they would have believed that everyone was with sin, okay? All have fallen short of the glory of God. And they would have believed that everyone was with sin. Why they had the sacrifices, it's why they had the Day of Atonement. But they had certain sinners where they said, oh, they're sinners. And tax collectors are one of those. You could think in our society, you know, we can come to church and say, God bless you, have mercy. But in our mind, in our thoughts, when we're reading the news or when we're meeting people, we're working with colleagues or we see people on the street, are there certain people who we think, oh, yeah. We might not use the word sinners. We might say they're really dodgy. They've got issues. We might use our nice language about it, but they're people that we put into categories. You know, we shouldn't, but we do. We love to put people into categories. So just have a think as we're reading this. I don't know how you feel about tax collectors. The tax collectors today might be that category for you. You might be sitting here crippled by taxes that seem really unfair, and you might be thinking, yeah, nothing's changed. You might have other people in your life who they have a position of power, they have a position of privilege over you, and they exact to the last penny what they can get from you. They get what they can from you. It might be someone in your family, it might be about a relationship where someone has a position of power and privilege over you, and you can't say anything, you can't do anything, you are powerless, and they use their power to gain from you. So think about that. And who are the people in our society that we put on the edge and we say, oh, they're a sinner. Oh, I'm a sinner as well, but they're a sinner. I nearly put it in capitals, capital S, capital letters, S-I-N-N-E-R, they're a sinner. So, Jesus says, it's not the healthy that need a doctor, but it is the sick. So he recognizes people, these sinners, but he doesn't just say they're sinners, he says they're sick. See that difference? If we move on. So Zacchaeus is one of these tax collectors. He is an outcast. And just to labor the point even further, in Matthew 18, Jesus is talking about the people in the church who are going against the church. They're causing conflict. They're not forgiving. They're not listening. They're not taking the authority of the church and the scriptures. They're in rebellion against God. Okay? He talks about them and he says, but if those people, if they will not listen, take one or two others along so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If they still refuse to listen, tell it to the church. And if they refuse to listen even to the church, treat them as you would a pagan, so an unbeliever, someone who doesn't worship God, maybe worships the earth, worships created things, worships themselves. Treat them as a pagan or tax collector. Tax collector. You need to hear how much of an outcast the tax collectors were. They were excluded from fellowship. They were unbelievers, deliberately rebellious against God. Okay. So, moving on. So Zacchaeus, he wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. So Zacchaeus wants to see who Jesus is. But Jesus already knows who Zacchaeus is. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So I wonder why Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus. It's not in the Bible. We could speculate. He's very rich. Why would he want to see Jesus? Is he unfilled? Are his riches not satisfying him? Is he feeling dislocated from his society as an outcast? Has he come to the end of himself? Is he just excited he's heard about all the miracles that are happening? There's something in him that wants to see Jesus. And I'll ask a question to you guys. What was the moment when you wanted to see Jesus? When there was something that you wanted to find out more about Jesus? Maybe you were in a Christian family coming to church, But your parents went on about it. You went to church and you heard people talking about Jesus, singing about Jesus, and you wanted to know more. But maybe it isn't from your family. Maybe you've come here as an adult. And there's something about Jesus. What is it about this group of people? Why do I feel this emotion? Why do I feel this peace, or like I'm going to cry when I come into this church building? What is it about Jesus? Maybe you're coming to see Jesus today. But I tell you, to all of those people, whether you've seen him, you've known him, or you've come in today, he knows who you are. He created you. He knows your name. Jesus looks up. Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. Okay. So, Jesus commands. Jesus says, I must stay at your house today. Immediately. Look at that command. He's very direct. He's urgent. But what does he command? He commands Zacchaeus to come to him. Now, how do you feel when people invite themselves to your house? How do you feel? You don't have to answer. No. I can see some good body language there. So when people invite themselves to your house, how do you feel? Now, some people here will be just angry at the thought of that, and they're already planning what they're going to say if someone invites themselves around later. And some of you guys are like, I would love that. We need to think culturally about the society they're in. It's more honourable to receive people, to feed them, to have them come and bless your house than it is to go and receive food. You are someone who is worthy of visiting. You're someone who is wealthy and generous, and people want to come to your house. And most places in the world, that's more the culture around hospitality. It's not a culture of, I'm going to impress you with the best dinner party, and then you're going to invite me back to repay the favour because you feel bad. That's quite a British thing sometimes in some areas of Britain. Coming to someone's house is so much honour and respect. You would come, Jesus, the guy they're all gathering to see, he would come and eat at my house. He would sit down with me. And what's happened to Zacchaeus? So Zacchaeus comes down at once. So I'm not sure of this story, whether something has happened in the past or something happens here. Some people think that Zacchaeus was already a believer. That's why he was there and he was ready to welcome him gladly. Well, maybe there was just a moment where Zacchaeus was just struck by the love of Jesus, noticing him and calling him down. He just came and he welcomed him gladly. But then people muttered. I love this word mutter. It's like muttering. I'm a good mutterer. In the NIV, it says the people grumbled. That's another word, isn't it? Ugh. What do you guys grumble about? So you're meant to be thankful this morning. Let's not remind you guys about that. But everyone mutters. But why were they muttering? Maybe they had good reason to mutter. This guy is making their life a misery. Maybe they're missing out on money that they could be spending on food. Maybe they're going without food because of this guy. Maybe they're seeing children dying of sickness because of lack of money and support because of this guy. Maybe they're seeing destitution because of people like Zacchaeus who are working for the Roman Empire. They've got a good reason to grumble. But Jesus doesn't seem to care. He invites the outcast. Have you grumbled about people? Are there people that you grumble about? Maybe we think about when I said about who are the outcasts in our society. And you might recognize that, yeah, they've had a troubled upbringing, or yeah, it's complicated, whether they're poor people or rich people. Who are those people who you look down on, you despise, and you think, cool, you know, if I wasn't a Christian, I'd say some things to them. Think about those people. You've grumbled, you've muttered about them. And maybe people mutter about you. Maybe you've had times, maybe right now in your life or other times in your life, where for whatever reason, you've been in a situation, or you've had people look at you a certain way, maybe from the way you dress, maybe the way you talk, maybe the kind of job that you do, and people are looking down on you, people are muttering or grumbling about you. Maybe through things you've done that, you know, you were guilty of doing the wrong thing, and people, but then they held that over you as your identity. And maybe you've been muttered about and you've been grumbled about. It reminds me of this moment here. What's happened to Zacchaeus? He gives everything. So if you go to the next slide, it reminds me a bit of these parables. So the Zacchaeus story is a real story that actually happened. And these are two parables that Jesus taught, stories to explain things. So this is what happens when Jesus calls a sinner, someone who recognizes they're a sinner. We're all sinners, but someone who recognizes they need Jesus. So the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Imagine if you found, it's like finding a bargain, isn't it? There's a field for sale. There's lots of fields for sale. They all cost about this amount of money. But this particular field, someone's told me there's treasure in it. I've seen it. I've got some inside information. There's treasure in this field. It costs the same as any other field, but this one's got treasure in it. This is, if I get this, then I'm going to be incredibly rich. Someone sells everything they have so they could buy that field. They encounter God, the kingdom of God. They sell everything they have because everything they have is a small price to pay for what's in that field. The other story, he says in the next verse, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away, sold everything he had and bought it. So when people encounter the kingdom of God and they recognize this is better than everything I've had, I will sell everything to get this kingdom, to get this treasure. And it reminded me of Zacchaeus, because Zacchaeus, he gives back all that he's stolen and more so because of Jesus calling him by name. He recognizes Jesus as that treasure and everything goes. Maybe it was in that moment, maybe he was already thinking about it, but this is an amazing moment where he encounters God's love, he encounters mercy. Maybe for the first time in his life, think about those people that you grumble about or who have made your life a misery. Have they ever received mercy? Has anyone ever forgiven them? Some people, they go through life, and they don't say sorry to anyone and no one says sorry to them. Their whole life, there's no mercy whatsoever. It's so powerful when we show mercy to people. For us, it might be quite normal. You know, we're so blessed by being in a church family. We're always thinking the best of each other, forgiving each other, overlooking. If someone says something that offends you, but they didn't mean to, we're always trying to forgive each other and maintain that bond of love between us. Some people, they don't experience that. That's not their life. If we show that, it stands out so much. Okay, so the rich young ruler we learnt about, I think Luke got some live sewing, didn't you? Got people up doing that. We're not going to do that. But trying to sew a thread through a needle, that's tricky for me. But Jesus says to about the rich young ruler, it's easier for a rich man, no, it's harder for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven than it is for a camel to enter the eye of a needle. It's harder for a rich man to enter heaven, the kingdom of heaven, than it is for a camel to be threaded through a needle. It's impossible. And then the disciples say, well, what should we do then? He says, with man this is impossible, with God all things are possible. So Zacchaeus is a rich man, and he's going to give everything away to follow Jesus. That is impossible with man. Something spiritual has happened to Zacchaeus. He repents. Zacchaeus stood up and he said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. Think about your possessions right now. They might not seem like enough, but think about half of them. That's a bit worse, isn't it? Half of his possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. It's amazing what's happened here. He's not just paying back. He's not like he's just paying a debt. He's not just paying back the amount. He is giving half of his possessions to the Lord. So he recognizes that he hasn't just wronged people, he's wronged God. God who created those people, who allowed him to have that position of power that he's abused. So he recognizes that his sin is not just about people. Firstly, it's about God. He gives that to God. Something about that wealth that he needs to give away. He recognizes it's not good for him. And then he says, I will pay back four times the amount. So this is like restoration. This is him. These people, imagine how they're going to feel when they receive that. Imagine the hate they felt for him. And then it's not just he's paying them back. Four times the amount. Imagine how powerful that is. Are there people that have wronged you and you've held it against them? What would it look like for you to pay them back four times the amount? Oh, sorry, it's wrong around. Imagine people you've hurt, you've harmed. You've harmed someone. You've let someone down. Maybe you've cheated someone. Sometimes we move quickly from these stories and say it's not really about money. To be honest, with human beings, it often is about money. The love of money is the root of all evils. So that's often the easiest application from the Bible, is just to look at how we use our money. Have you cheated anyone? Have you hurt anyone? What would it look like for you to pay back four times the amount? What did it look like before that for you to give half of what you have to the Lord? God wants to give you that gladness, that joy that Zacchaeus has in this story. So he's born again. When I preached last month, I talked about Nicodemus. What does it mean to be born again? Does it mean to come out of your mother's womb again? And Jesus explains to him about being born again, having a new heart, being made clean, a new spirit, loving God, obeying God, overcoming the world, and loving others. This looks like evidence of someone being born again. Repenting is your love for God, your realization you found that treasure, you found that pearl, is that you give half to God. You give four times back what you've stolen. It's this radical generosity. Okay. So Jesus comes to the lost. In the end of the story, Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." So this man Zacchaeus, who's betrayed the Jewish people, he's now being put in the same breath of Abraham. You can't get more of the Jewish people than Abraham, apart from maybe Jesus. Abraham, he's a son of Abraham. Jesus asserts his identity. This man Zacchaeus is a son of Abraham. And he talks about himself here. For the Son of Man, that's Jesus talking about himself. The Son of Man, the perfect man, the one who rules, the one who succeeds where the first man failed, where Adam failed, and every man and woman fails ever since. The perfect man, the man who exercises authority over sin, Satan, the man who is the perfect priest, the perfect king, Jesus, the Son of Man, he came to seek and save the lost. Jesus comes first. Now Zacchaeus might have come looking for Jesus to look at him, but he'd heard about Jesus, and Jesus is the initiator. He calls him down. If this was a different religion, we might have a story where the prophet, the God, is in the tree, and the man climbs up, and if he's brave enough, if he perseveres, then he makes it. But that isn't our God, and that is a picture, like every other religion, that exalts man and man's strength to get to God. But it cripples man because we can't, and we know we can't. But this is our God. He calls to us. He initiates. He calls us. And he doesn't just call us to come to him. He asks to come in to be with us. He comes to us. So, when Jesus, also, most of this story is about Zacchaeus coming to faith, being born again for the first time. But Jesus is always inviting himself in. Now, he's already with us. If you put your trust in Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, he dwells with you. You are connected with him. You are born again. You have a new heart that beats for God. But how that works out in our thought life, we often try and hold him back. We try and ignore him. So this picture in Revelation is of Jesus knocking on the door. He's knocking on the door. And we, loads of people, they love this verse. Jesus is knocking the door to enter. And we often talk about this verse about people believing in Jesus for the first time. But actually in Revelation, it's not about people coming to faith. It's about the church. It's about believers who are unrepentant. And Jesus wants to come in. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Remember what Zacchaeus did. He didn't just believe, he acted on it. He repented. Here I am, Jesus says, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. I was reading some notes about this passage. It's not a picture of Jesus like, can I come in? I'm hungry. I need some shelter. It's Jesus as the Lord of the house. He owns you. If you're a believer, he owns your heart. He owns everything about you. And you can try and put doors up. And he's knocking. He's saying, I'm the master of this house. Let me in. I want to be the master of your good times and your bad times. I want to eat with you. I want personal fellowship and friendship with you. Imagine sitting at a table with someone you love, sharing about your day, good things, the bad things, making eye contact. You're at peace with them. You're not on guard. You're not sitting up straight. You're not trying to impress them. You're not worried they're going to attack you or snap at you. Someone you love and trust, you eat. They're not going to poison your food. There's an extreme. But this peace, you sit with someone, you're vulnerable. We're eating together. We're spending time together. That's what Jesus wants for you. Even if you believe him, you've trusted in him, you have that new heart, you can be sat at the dinner table with him, and you're sat at that chair, and you're just like, I'm just going to eat. This is what I need. I need this physical food. This is all I need. Jesus says, you need more than that. Man may not live on bread alone. Every word that comes out of the mouth of God, through the word and through Jesus, highlighting the word, speaking to you every single day. He wants to spend that time with you. He wants to have that intimacy with you. He wants to eat at your house. So, Zacchaeus is an outcast, but he wants to see who Jesus is. Jesus already knows who Zacchaeus is. Jesus commands him to come down. Zacchaeus obeys. People mutter, but people will always mutter. And often that's us muttering as well. Zacchaeus repents, and Zacchaeus is saved. Is Jesus calling you today? I would say, yeah, he is calling you. If you're listening, he is calling you. Is he calling you for the first time? Have you never put your trust in him? Have you never let him in? That is an exciting day. I'd love to pray for you today if this is the day where you're going to let him in for the first time. Even if you're an outcast, you're thinking about the sins you've done, the wrong you've done. Let's have a look here at Zacchaeus. He can come in. He can let Jesus in. Jesus wants to eat with him. Jesus wants to eat with you. Jesus wanted to eat with me. I'm not saying I'm different to Zacchaeus. All have fallen short. You may have let Jesus come and eat with you and be with you over the years. This might be the 1,000th time. I'm sure no one's counting. I know God is not counting. He is not counting. This might be the 1,000,000th time that he wants to come and eat with you today. Is he calling you today? Or maybe you had a great breakfast with Jesus this morning. Maybe you are just having that time with him, and maybe the call on you today is to go to the outcast, to go to those people who are looked down on, who are muttered about. Maybe Jesus is calling you to do that. Well, maybe it's two of those. You know, Jesus sends his disciples out. They're imperfect. They don't understand everything, but he sends them out to the outcast. You could be coming to Jesus today for the first time, and he's also commissioning you. Come to me, understand who you are, receive my love and forgiveness, and go out and tell others about that. This is not a call to come and be passive and just be saved. This is a call to come, be part of God's kingdom. Jesus is still calling people today. I prayed for a friend of mine on the weekend who has a really bad knee. And I asked him how his knee was going. He said, it's worse than ever. It's getting worse every day. And I just said a prayer in Jesus' name. And he thanked me for it because people love to be prayed for. They love that you are thinking of them, even if they don't have much faith. And afterwards, we talked a bit, and he said, I think Jesus was, I know he was a real person, and he did good things, he said, I also believe in Buddhism, and I don't believe he was God. And then a couple of days later, I texted him and said, how's it going? I didn't really ask about the knee, because I was a bit embarrassed, to be honest. And he was like, I'm still trying to come up with a rational explanation for why my knee hasn't hurt since you prayed for it. Okay? So we've got lots of rational explanations here. So that was God. That wasn't me. I said to him, well, Jesus is still doing what he did when he walked the earth. Only now he does it through his church. There's an invitation here. And let's just switch back to slide 14 with the treasure and the pearls, please, Edward. So when Jesus calls a sinner, and we saw this story, and we thought about ourselves as finding this treasure, finding this pearl. This story is deep. This story is also about the Father. This is about God. God found treasure. Us. God sees us as treasure, as the apple of his eye. He sold. He gave everything he had to have us. He thought we were worth it. And we are worth it because he says we are. And he gave everything to have us. That's what he gave. So when Jesus calls Zacchaeus down, it seems quite casual. I'll come and eat with you. Jesus knows. And he says, even like just before this, in the Bible, in Luke chapter 18, he talks about how he's going to die. Jesus calls Zacchaeus down because he knows he is going to pay the price so that people like Zacchaeus can come home. Okay, let's go to the next slide. Luke, if you could lead us with a prayer, a response on the last slide. But I thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you that you come to the outcast. Thank you that you came to me. And I thank you today you're calling us. You're calling some people for the first time. You're calling some people for the 1,000th time. And you're calling some people to go to the outcast. And whatever that resonates in people's hearts, I pray you give them the courage now to pray to you, to pray of others, and to respond to that, Jesus. Amen.
Thanks, Tom. Maybe if the band could come up. It's really powerful, that last bit, hearing that we are that pearl of great price. That everyone here in this room, the Lord God gave up his son for us. For each one of you. God said he loved you so much that he was prepared to give his son, so that your sin, the things you do wrong, the things you think about that are wrong, might not be counted against you, but you might be free. It's quite beautiful, right? I so often think of that story and think, oh, I sold everything to give up the Lord, but then to think of it with the power of Jesus giving his life for us that we might be free. Something quite extraordinary. As Tom said, if you're here today and you've never heard this message of Jesus giving his life for you, then we would love to pray for you. We would love to help you find Jesus as he's called you, and just begin to work out what that looks like for your life. For those of us who are believers here today, maybe just remind yourself that, man, Jesus gave everything for me. That, yes, I have lots of stuff going in my life, but I'm saved by his grace and his love. Now, I know there's some wonderfully intelligent and amazing people in here, but the most important thing is that you're loved by the Lord. And as we're singing this final song, maybe think about, who might I be able to extend that love to? Who might be that outcast in my life? Might be someone on the street. It might be a friend. Might be a neighbour. Might be a family member. You will know it now in your heart. I believe I can even think of people in my heart that I'm going to have to reach out to this week to show love, to extend mercy. Somber, but the reality is that's what Jesus did for us. When someone gives everything for you, including their life, I think it's okay to have some somber moments to ponder that. We're going to respond in song now. And at the end of the service, we're going to have a bit of opportunity if you'd like prayer. If you want prayer for healing, as Tom shared that story, you might be thinking, oh, something's hurting and I'd love to see God heal me. We'd love to pray. If you've got stuff going on in your life that you just don't know, it feels a jumbled up mess, we'd love to pray. If you'd love to come to know Jesus for the first time, we'd love to pray. And we'll have this space down here at the end to pray whilst everyone's having tea and coffee. And there'll be some people who I'm sure will willingly come and pray with you. But let's stand now, if you're able to, and let's sing. Let's dwell on the goodness of God, what he's done for us.